One of the problems that is involved in all church work and everything that has to do with our public Christian testimony is the difference of opinion that develops among people. Human beings just are different. They think differently. And in the course of time, those who think alike tend to get together and make themselves, as it were, into parties or groups. And then they begin to oppose each other until, before any community has been settled any very great length of time, you have the people who are with the Joneses and the people who are with the Smiths, and they're just different people, that sort of thing. And what you have in the community that way will show up in the church. You'll have it come right on through into the church, and all the people who are in favor of the Joneses will favor one thing, whereas all the people in favor of the Smiths will favor another thing. And when that comes over into the church, it's really difficult. Now, we are studying about this, watching about this, in our study in the book of Acts. And we are just now in chapter 18 in the book of Acts. And we're watching the Apostle Paul in his public conduct. In this particular chapter, at the part where we're studying, and we'll be beginning at the 19th verse, the Apostle Paul is in the city of Corinth, has been in the city of Corinth. And while he had been in the city of Corinth, the apostle ran into opposition, which was developed and strengthened by the attitude of the Jews against him. And the Jews seemed to take some satisfaction in pointing out that Paul was working with the Gentiles. And they drew attention to the long-time difference of opinion, as it were, and the difference of feeling between the Jews and the Gentiles. In other words, in that day and time, and in that society where Paul was doing his work, there was definitely a difference of opinion. And not more than a difference of opinion, there was actually an alienation, coming right down at times to out-and-out hostility and open conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles, these two different groups of people. And the early church had a problem in connection with it, and those of us who have been studying in the book of Acts have noticed how the early church tried to deal with it. There were those who belonged to the party of the Jews who had the feeling that any Gentile who wanted to become a Christian should first become a Jew. But you remember in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts how the church came together, and after Barnabas and Paul told of how God had blessed the gospel among the Gentiles, the early church decided that the will of God, as led by the Holy Spirit, was that Jews could become Christians and Gentiles could become Christians in exactly the same way, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Gentiles would not have to become Jews before they became Christians. Then you will recall that from there, when they came out from that time, in general, Peter went to labor among the Jews, and Paul went to work among the Gentiles. This had happened sometime before the situation developed in Corinth. But when Paul came to preach in Corinth, as his custom was, he went into the Jewish synagogue. And he lectured there and preached there to show what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was, how that it was a fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. The Jews would not receive it. So Paul turned away from them and began to preach to the Gentiles. Now this happened in Corinth. And because of that, because he turned to the Gentiles, you will remember the Jews had him arrested. And they brought him into the court and they accused him of teaching things that were subversive, doing things he ought not to do. And the Gentile deputy that was in charge, the magistrate Gallio, who was in charge in that situation, said that he wasn't interested in what they were doing, and he drove them out from his presence. He'd have nothing more to do with them. But, of course, the quarrel continued. And now we read in the 19th verse that after Paul had left Corinth, he came to Ephesus. Now let me read the 19th verse to you. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. The them would refer to the people he was traveling with. He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. I'm going to suggest to you that what you have here, what you see here, is Paul taking care to make sure that people would not be able to label him as being anti-Jewish. And he took steps to make sure that they wouldn't be able to do that. Because of what happened at Corinth, he could expect to be so labeled. Over the whole country, they would have called him that he was against the Jews. They would have said he was anti-Jewish. And I'm sure that some would have said in a sneering way that he was a Gentile lover. That's the way he would have been pushed around. But what we find is that when he came to Ephesus, he left them, that's the other members of the team, and he alone went up and went into the synagogue, which he had a right to do. He was a Jew, and reasoned with the Jews. And you can ask yourself, well, hadn't he turned to the Gentiles? And I would say, in Corinth, yes. But absolutely, no. Meaning to say that in the situation in Corinth, he found it advisable to go work among the Gentiles. But that did not mean that the Apostle Paul was turning his back on Jewish people, and did not mean that in the future he wouldn't have anything to do with the Jews. Now we read on from there. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, and what I notice in that is that he must have conducted himself in such a way that those Jews wanted him to stay longer. Now stop and just stop and think about that. There had been a long time animosity, quarrel and conflict between Jew and Gentile. And here is a man who is being accused of being a Gentile lover and being over with the Gentiles. He comes into this city and he leaves the rest of his company where they are, and he personally goes up to into the synagogue and reasons with the Jews. And I feel like saying, you know what? They wanted him to stay longer. And you know what that says to me? It says to me that Paul was able to disarm their prejudice. Paul was able to so conduct himself that those Jewish people didn't hold anything against him. And I think that's tremendously important, because it shows how, led by the Spirit, a man can seek to avoid being labeled on one side or the other of a controversy that isn't of, after all, does not deal with things that pertain to spiritual life, deal with social things. So when they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, now listen to what he said, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. Telling these Jews he was going up to Jerusalem to keep a Jewish feast, getting the matter, getting the record straight before everybody, that although he was working with the Gentiles and laboring with them gladly, he recognized Jewish customs and principles and was glad to partake of them. We have earlier pointed out to you, Paul would have been the first to tell you that Jewish customs were not necessary for salvation. But he would have been the last to say that Jewish customs were wrong. He would have said that Jewish customs for the Jews are perfectly all right for the Jews. They don't mean salvation. But if you want to have them, you can have them. And so far as he was concerned, he was a Jew and he would go along with them on that. So he bade farewell to these Jews in Ephesus, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And of course, that's where they had started out. You'll remember Antioch was home base, so far as these people were concerned. And so he moved on through to home. And after he had spent some time there, this is in verse 23, and may I point out to those of you who are Bible students, just point out to you, nobody knows for sure how long that was. When it says he had spent some time there, it might be days, it might be weeks, it might be months. He departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And this may well be the spot at which you see the beginning of Paul's third missionary journey. People talk about Paul's first missionary journey and second missionary journey, which is clear to all students of the book of Acts, but the third missionary journey is oftentimes obscure. This would be the spot, leaving Antioch, going out over the old route to strengthen the disciples. This is follow-up work, the kind of work that we find our modern evangelists doing in an increasing way, following up the effective evangelistic work and missionary work. Let me ask you a question. How would you strengthen the disciples? Who then is a disciple? Do you think strengthening the disciples was a matter of giving them a strong will and a strong purpose? You think that being a Christian is just how how firmly you hold your convictions, or shall I say, how much you make up your mind? Who is a disciple? Isn't it not true that a disciple is a man who believes in Jesus Christ, who enrolls, as it were, to learn about him? He believes that Jesus is the Christ. That is, he believes that Jesus fulfills Old Testament Scripture, as the Christ was set forth in the Old Testament, that his works, the works of the Lord Jesus, testify that he really was the Christ, the Son of God, and that his present ministry in the believers is really what the Lord Jesus came to do. Things like that. Now, in what sense can such a learner be strengthened? And I would remind you of what you have in the epistles. What you read in the epistles in Romans, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that's strengthening the disciples. That's what you do when you try to strengthen a believer. That is to say, you increase their understanding of the Old Testament, as for instance is done by Paul in the various epistles, and you help the believer interpret Christ for himself. He comes to a better understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for him. You strengthen this believer in confidence in the validity of the promises of the gospel as to what the Lord Jesus Christ actually promised. And you increase his understanding of how the Holy Spirit works within. Now, in these various ways, you strengthen a man's understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. This is a matter of strengthening the disciples. The disciples don't believe just because they're stubborn. The disciples believe because they really think it's true, and they put their trust in it. And he comes to strengthen them in this by giving them more and more reason to believe that what they have believed about the Lord Jesus Christ actually really is the truth under God, our God and Heavenly Father. Help us so to believe, that we may be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Add thy blessing to us in all of our church life and work, that we may come to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.